Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narratories Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, In Charles Sumner and the Coming of the Civil War. David Herbert Donald presents a major political biography of one of the most consequential anti-slavery senators of the antebellum United States. The book follows Sumner from his Boston upbringing, Harvard education, legal training, and reform circles into the national arena, where he became a leading opponent of slavery expansion and a central figure in the sectional crisis. Winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Biography, the work is both a life study and an interpretation of the political culture that preceded the Civil War. Donald is interested not only in what Sumner did, but in how temperament, moral conviction, social ambition, and institutional power shaped his public role. The biography treats the Senate as a crucial battlefield before the military war began, showing how speeches, party alignments, personal honor, and ideological rigidity helped turn political conflict into national rupture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Boston moral reform culture shaped the public identity of Sumner. Donald gives substantial attention to the early formation of Sumner because his later Senate career cannot be understood only as a sequence of votes and speeches. Sumner emerged from a Boston environment that valued education, moral seriousness, legal refinement, and public reputation. His Harvard training and connections with intellectual and reform-minded circles helped create a politician who saw public life as a moral vocation rather than a practical craft of bargaining. This background also gave him habits that made him distinctive and difficult. He valued principle, learned argument, and cultivated manners, yet he could appear aloof, self-regarding, and inflexible. Donald uses these early influences to explain why Sumner entered politics relatively late and why he entered it with an unusually elevated conception of office. The point is not that Boston reform culture automatically produced radical anti-slavery politics. Rather, the biography shows how Sumner adapted that culture into a public persona that joined legal reasoning, humanitarian sentiment, and social ambition. His anti-slavery politics grew from conviction, but also from a strong need to occupy moral high ground in public life. Secondly, Sumner turned anti-slavery conviction into a politics of non-compromise. A central subject of the biography is the way Sumner transformed opposition to slavery into an uncompromising political identity. Donald traces his movement through the fractured politics of the 1840s and 1850s, including the decline of older party loyalties, the rise of free soil sentiment, disputes over the Fugitive Slave Act, and the conflicts that eventually fed Republican organization. Sumner did not treat slavery as one negotiable interest among many, but he framed it as a moral and constitutional wrong that corrupted the Republic and demanded resistance. This stance gave him unusual authority among anti-slavery voters, especially in Massachusetts, but it also limited his ability to cooperate with politicians who prized sectional compromise. Donald shows that Sumner mattered because the antebellum Senate was not merely a deliberative chamber. It was a national stage where definitions of union, liberty, property, and citizenship were contested before the public. Sumner used that stage to press arguments that many colleagues considered inflammatory. His importance lay in forcing moral clarity into a political system increasingly unable to contain the slavery question through procedural settlement. Thirdly, the Senate became a theater of sectional honor and physical danger. The most famous event in the book is the 1856 assault on Sumner by Representative Preston Brooks after Sumner delivered his Crime Against Kansas speech. Donald treats the attack as more than an episode of personal brutality. It exposed the collapse of norms that had allowed hostile sections to coexist within national institutions. Sumner spoke in a rhetorical style that was learned, severe, and deliberately accusatory, targeting slave power and its defenders with language that many Southerners interpreted through codes of honor and insult. Brooks answered not with debate, but with violence on the Senate floor, and the response across the country revealed how deeply sectional perceptions had diverged. Many Northerners saw Sumner as a martyr to free speech and anti-slavery principle, while many Southerners defended Brooks as avenging dishonor. Donald therefore presents the caning as a symbolic pre-war rupture. It showed that political disagreement over slavery had moved beyond ordinary legislative conflict, and that violence could be celebrated as a legitimate answer to moral condemnation. The episode helped make Sumner a national emblem. Fourthly, Donald portrays Sumner as both morally courageous and personally difficult. One reason the biography remains influential is that it does not reduce Sumner to either hero or fanatic. Donald emphasizes genuine courage in the career of Sumner, especially his willingness to oppose slavery when such opposition brought isolation, hatred, and physical danger. At the same time, the book presents a man whose confidence in his own rectitude could become arrogance. Sumner often struggled with compromise, personal warmth, and tactical flexibility. These traits were not incidental flaws added to an otherwise simple moral story. Donald connects them to the way Sumner exercised power. His certainty made him a formidable anti-slavery spokesman because he refused to soften the issue for political convenience. Yet the same certainty could alienate allies and intensify enemies. This balanced portrait matters because the coming of the Civil War was shaped by individuals who were neither merely representatives of abstract forces nor free agents outside history. Sumner becomes a case study in how character and ideology interact. His virtues and defects both contributed to his influence in a crisis that rewarded moral force and punished conciliation. Lastly, the book explains the Civil War through political biography rather than battle narrative. Donald gives readers a view of the Civil War crisis before armies dominated the story. By following Sumner, he places emphasis on legislative institutions, party breakdown, public speeches, reform networks, newspapers, and the moral language of national politics. This approach differs from military histories that begin with secession or battlefield strategy. It shows that the war had a long political prehistory in which conflicts over slavery expansion, federal authority, and constitutional meaning repeatedly strained the Union. The biographical method also allows Donald to connect large structures to individual agency. Sumner did not cause the Civil War by himself, and Donald does not imply that he did. Instead, the book shows how a powerful senator could sharpen public debate, symbolize sectional grievance, and embody the unwillingness of anti-slavery politics to accept further compromise. The method has the strengths of close character study and institutional analysis. The reader seeking broad social history from the perspective of enslaved people will need other works alongside it. Its particular value is in explaining how elite political conflict helped make disunion thinkable and then unavoidable. In conclusion, Charles Sumner and the Coming of the Civil War is best suited for readers interested in antebellum politics, political biography, the origins of the Civil War, and the moral conflicts surrounding slavery. It is valuable for students because it clarifies how the breakdown of party systems, congressional debate, and sectional identity contributed to the national crisis. It is also useful for general readers, because Donald writes biography as a way to understand institutions, not merely personality. The practical intellectual benefit of the book is that it teaches how political conviction can acquire power when linked to office, rhetoric, timing, and public symbolism. It also shows the costs of moral absolutism in a system built on compromise. Compared with many Civil War books, this work stands out by keeping attention on the pre-war Senate and on a figure who is central to the political conflict, but is less familiar than Lincoln, Davis, or major generals. Compared with admiring reform biographies, it is more psychologically critical. Compared with broad surveys, it offers sharper human focus. Donald makes Sumner important not as a flawless hero, but as a difficult, principled, and consequential actor in the collapse of the antebellum republic. If you would like to support David Donald, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.